Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Again, we're in Revelation chapter 10. I'll begin reading with verse 1. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel, whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land, raised up his hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. May God add blessings to the reading of his word tonight, as we continue to look in our study of Revelation. We have just finished the six trumpets. Prior to that, we had the opening of the six seals. Now we have come to the seventh trumpet. But before we move into the seventh trumpet, we are at a point where there is a space. This is the second time that this has happened in Revelation, and I believe there's going to be one more space that's going to happen as well. And as we're parked here in this little opening in Revelation and in God's judgment, it gives us an opportunity to think about some things as we read what John experienced. You know, when we think about sin, we can't help but think about all of the pain and the suffering that it causes for all of humanity. Not just for the one who is wrapped up in sin, not just for that family, not just for that community or whomever it may affect. But everyone is affected by the pain and the suffering of sin. Often we ask, why would God allow it? Why does God allow His children to suffer? Why do the children of God suffer and struggle? And those who follow the devil and those who are unsaved and lost in their sin seem to prosper? Well, the answer is a lengthy one. When we begin to discuss it and when we begin to have conversation about it, it can take up literally hours. But for tonight's message, let me give you two words to think about when we ask why. Those two words are mercy and glory. God's mercy to those who do not know Him for repentance and regeneration. God continues to show mercy for those and who give themselves over to sin, for those who are lost in sin, for those who are struggling with sin, those who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. God continues to show and give mercy to those. And the other, when we think of glory, the suffering that the children of God endure, the struggles and the suffering that sin places upon this earth, are all for the glory of God. That may be kind of hard to wrap our minds around tonight, but it's true. The Bible tells us that God gains glory out of everything that happens and everything that is done. You see, through mercy, God gains glory because the lost come to repentance. Through the sin and through the suffering, God gains glory because He leads His children through that pain and through that suffering. Through everything that happens on this earth, God gains glory. So when we ask the question of why, when that question enters back into our minds again, we need to remember those two words, mercy and glory. Now, with all of that said, we must realize there is a coming day when God will break His silence. There is a day when all of the purposes of God concerning men and the world will be consummated. They will come to a close. At that time, the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and He will establish His earthly kingdom. The sounding of the seventh trumpet will herald the imminent return and the imminent reign of Christ, and it will begin the process of seeing His millennium reign set up upon the earth. Now, before this takes place, we find within God's Word where we are tonight. We find an interlude. And this interlude begins in verse 1 of chapter 10, and it continues on through chapter 11, verse 14. This pause that we're looking at tonight gives John and his readers the occasion to assimilate the startling truth that has just been revealed. You see, it also serves to encourage God's people during the fury and during the horror of divine judgment, reminding them that God remains sovereign. There are some things that are getting ready to happen in the book of Revelation, some things that God shows John, some things that are going to be so terrifying that He doesn't let no one know about them. But yet, God gives this interlude as a break and to let His children know those that are here during this time will have an encouraging word, will have some encouragement from heaven on high to see them through. God will comfort His people with the assurance that He has not forgotten them and that they will ultimately be victorious. Well, when the seventh trumpet sounds, the interlude will end. And the seven rapid fire catastrophic bowl judgments will begin. And we will see those bowl judgments described in detail when we get to chapters 15 and 16. But for tonight, let's begin looking at this interlude. Let's begin looking at several unusual figures that are given to us inside of God's Word. So tonight, let's watch the events unfold before our very eyes, and I want you to notice with me first, there is an unusual angel that is discussed in verses 1 and verses 2. And that unusual angel is another heavenly messenger. You see, when we look at and we see the word angel, and you go back into the Greek, it is the Greek word angelos. And the Greek word angelos actually means messenger. Sometimes that word is used to describe a prophet in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's used to describe a pastor in the New Testament. Sometimes it's used to describe a heavenly being sent down from the throne of God in order to deliver a timely message in both the Old and the New Testament. And that is the case that's being used here in the book of Revelation. It is being used as a heavenly messenger because if we notice, it says another mighty angel. And that word another, when we go back into the Greek with it, it means just as before. So when we think of the other angels that have been sent, the angels that had come to blow the six trumpets prior to this angel, and now we're seeing God showing John, this is another one just like those that had came, but comes with a different purpose, comes with a different message, comes and shows up and arrives with a different task altogether from those who were blowing the trumpets. That is the heavenly messenger that has sent down and that has appeared before John. This is something new, something different. This is something that John's not struggling with, but it definitely has his attention. And he's writing about it as he was told to do. When we go back to the first part of Revelation, God told him to write it down. And that's where we're at with it right now. But not only is this heavenly messenger a messenger that is sent from the throne of God to reveal a message from God, it is a messenger that's bringing a verification that there is going to be continued judgment. That continued judgment will proceed with the seventh trumpet when it sounds. God's not finished judging this world yet. God's not finished with the suffering, and God's not finished dealing with the sin that is involved in the hearts. And if you remember back where we left off last time we met, there is a hardened group of people. A hardened group of people who dealt with all of the plagues and dealt with all of the suffering. And yet God's word said they would not repent. God isn't finished with them. And it gives us a picture tonight. Even though we're on this side of the rapture, judgment is coming. And it gives us a picture tonight to realize that unless there is repentance and sound Holy Ghost sent repentance inside of the heart of an individual, and they are truly bought and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then there is nothing for them to look forward to except judgment. So when God calls on the heart of a person to repent, it's not just something that we can thumb our nose at and say, oh, well, they didn't do it. It ought to break our heart. It ought to break our heart and bring us to tears because we know that there is someone that God is going to judge if their heart isn't turned. We ought to be in our altars at the churches, and we ought to be in our prayer closets at home. And we ought to be on our knees before God praying for these people and crying out to heaven, not for time for them, but for a Holy Ghost conviction to fall upon them that they cannot resist and they can't deny any farther. Just as this angel is bringing a verification of a continued judgment from the Word of God, that continued judgment is something that is given to us today to prepare our service, to prepare our hearts for God's service. But there's something different about this judgment. You notice in the Scriptures, it says that there's a rainbow on this angel's head. That rainbow is a picture of mercy. When you go back to the Old Testament and you think about the flood and you think about old Noah and you think about his ark and you think about all of the judgment that took place there, there was no one left on the face of the earth except for old Noah and his family, his sons and their families. That was it. That was the only people that was left. And yet at the end, when the rain quit falling, when the earth quit trembling, when everything closed up and sealed up, and the waters subsided, there was a rainbow. And God said that rainbow was set to show that He would never do that again. It was a sign of God's mercy on humanity and on all of His creation. The rainbow that we see that's around about the head of the angel that had came to speak to John is a picture of God's mercy. Yes, there will be judgment, but there will also be mercy because there will be some saved people on the earth at this time. And God's mercy will be there specifically for God's people that are walking the earth. It's encouraging news tonight to know that even in the roughest of times that we haven't seen yet, the roughest of times that mankind and humanity hasn't experienced yet, there's going to be mercy. So tonight in our lives and in the lives of all of our loved ones and all of those around us, we can rest assured that God has mercy on our souls and has mercy on our lives because we are his people. Well, this unusual angel isn't just an angel that's bringing a word of verified judgment and a word of mercy coming to God's people, but this is an angel that is proclaiming God's glory and God's sovereignty. Notice his face was like a sun. The brilliance and the brightness of the sun. The only thing that gives us a picture of anything any more brilliant and anything any brighter in God's Word is the Shekinah glory that Moses dealt with, the Shekinah glory that was in the tabernacle at the mercy seat, the Shekinah glory that was in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, again upon the mercy seat. The Shekinah glory of God that Jesus experienced when he dealt with the transfiguration. But we're not talking about that kind of glory right now. We are talking about, though, a picture of the glory and the sovereignty of God. When we look and we see that picture and that illustration of his face being like sun, there is sovereignty and there is glory in our presence today. This is not something that's going to just happen in this day, in the day and time of Revelation. It's present in our very lives today. Are we taking time to look for it? Are we praying for the discernment to see it? Are we really concerned about God's glory even being in a part of our lives and being a part of our family? Do we understand the depth of the sovereignty of God in our lives and dealing with our salvation? And are we really concerned about it? There is a time coming when the people that know God and people that have Him and live in this day and age in Revelation, they will hunger for the glory and for the sovereignty of God in their lives. And we have it standing before us tonight in our lives, every day of our life, and we experience it so readily, we take it for granted. And often we don't appreciate the glory and the sovereignty of God that we have every day, and that we have access to, and that we have the privilege and the safety and the security of falling on our face before God just to say, thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything that you have done. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for everything that you have given and everything you've blessed us with. And God, forgive me for wanting more and not thanking you for what you have given me. But God, I praise you for your glory and for your righteousness. We live in a day and in an age where we're so surrounded by it, we've lost our sensitivity to it, I'm afraid. But not in this coming age, after the judgments, after the seals, after the trumpets are blown. We're here at a point where God's people are here on this earth and they're going to experience His mercy. And they are going to see from this angel a proclaiming of glory and sovereignty, and it will be well received by those folks. Well, also, we see something else about this unusual angel tonight. We see that his feet is like pillars of fire. Those pillars of fire are a picture of tolerance and compromise. There is none in this angel. There is none in God's judgment. God does not hear the pleas of people. This is a time of judgment. This is a time of opportunity for repentance. This is a time for those that are lost to come to God, to be called to Him for forgiveness of sin and for repentance. This is the right time and the right place for everything to get right with God. But it's not a time to expect God to compromise, because God doesn't compromise. God is not tolerant to sin. He isn't tolerant with sin today. His mercy endures it to give the folks time and opportunity to repent and to get their lives right. But God is not tolerant to it. God does not compromise with it. God does not sit down at a negotiating table with anything, with anybody for anything. It doesn't matter if it's the LGBT groups. It doesn't matter if it is any of these abortion groups. It doesn't matter if it's any of the murderers or any of the immoral people that are in the pornography or any of those things. It makes no difference. It doesn't matter if it's the gamblers or if it's the hotel and casino owners. It makes no difference. God doesn't compromise with them. And it's a very difficult thing for a lot of folks to grasp tonight, but God doesn't compromise with political parties either. He has His standards. And He expects all of His creation to live up to those standards. There's no compromise. And this angel, this unusual angel, is an angel that came and is an angel that stood, and is an angel that came before John, and John noticed the first thing, this is another mighty angel. Coming from the same place as the others, but coming with a different purpose and a different task. Well, not only did John notice there was an unusual angel, he noticed that there was an unusual act. The last part of verse 2 and verse 3 goes into some detail there. He set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Well, this unusual act reveals the scope of God's judgment moving forward. Notice this angel stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. He's a tall fella, isn't he? If he's going to stand like that. That's a picture that God gives us that this angel and this angel's judgment and what God does through this angel is going to encompass the land and the sea from the east to the west, the north to the south. There isn't a part of this planet that's not going to be touched by the judgments that are coming. Now, we know that all the earth has been touched by the judgments that have taken place. But it has been sporadic. This one had caused this, and this trumpet caused that. There's a judgment for each one. But this is one remaining judgment that's going to start. One mighty sweep of God's hand left upon the face of the earth at one time. It's going to be worldwide. All creation will be affected, whether it be land or sea. It's going to be that devastating of an act. And it also reveals the power and the majesty and the authority that God will display. And it will be displayed through fear, and it will be displayed through terror. Hollywood doesn't have the imagination to duplicate what God has got in store. Coming out of the book of Revelation. Coming out of this seventh trumpet, Hollywood can't come close. As a matter of fact, we're going to get in to the unusual answer that's coming up next. And it's going to be so horrifying that God specifically tells John to do something very unusual. What is that answer? Well, in verse 4, we see that whether the voice that came was that of God the Father, of Jesus Christ, or of the angel that was standing, we don't know. But the command was very clear. The command came from God sitting upon His throne. It was the very one who had commanded John to write earlier at the beginning of Revelation when he said, write down what you see. Now John is forbidden to write down anything. He said, but I heard a voice in verse 4, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. It may be that that judgment that was uttered is just simply too terrifying to be revealed. Can you imagine that? God's being so merciful to us that He will not tell us how ugly and how terrifying this judgment is going to be. He isn't trying to hide it. He isn't trying to conceal it. He's trying to protect us from the fear that will come, that we will experience. Those that are left and that are standing on earth during this time will be subjected. Those that are saved, God's chosen ones, the ones that He's going to give mercy to, now we see a picture of where that mercy is coming from and why it's going to be imparted upon them. There is a horrible terror, something that is beyond human imagination. God doesn't tell us for our own good. We may understand it and we may not understand it, but He chose not to tell us. He told John to seal it. Never let it out. This is not something that you tell anyone. This is not something that you talk about any longer. John, you seal it. There's no reason for you and I to speculate tonight what God has sealed, because what He has sealed, He has sealed of His own will and of His own accord. And He has done it for His own purpose. What you and I need to be focused on and worried about tonight is warning and telling as many people as we can about the coming judgment and about the coming times that are ahead of us. We think times are tough tonight. Well, they're only going to get worse. It doesn't matter who's sitting in the White House. It doesn't matter what political party is in power. It doesn't matter whose name is on what. And it doesn't matter who is protesting or who is doing this or who is doing that. God has established a point and a time for this world to degenerate and deteriorate so that He has the ultimate sign and the ultimate time of His sovereign rule and judgment upon it. Well, last for tonight, in verses 5 through 7, we see that there's something else unusual coming, and that's an unusual announcement. And this announcement is more in the form of a testimony than it is anything else. This angel has a testimony, a heavenly testimony, that is sent to God, are sent by God to John to share to everyone. First, it is a testimony that is made by making a vow to God that is His direction will be followed. A testimony of promise, if you will, tonight, where this angel says, "The angel whom I saw standing," John says, "on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven." Just like in a court of law, when you put one hand on the Bible and raise one hand and you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. This angel raised his hand in the presence of God up to heaven, and he swore by Him who lives forever. By God. He swore by God. And he took a vow. He took a vow that God's directions would be followed. Now, we have a tendency of making promises to God and just kind of letting them fall into the wayside. God, I promise, if you'll do this, I'll do that. God, I promise. God, I promise. God, I promise. And just in a period of time, we have a tendency of letting the sensitivities of those promises leave us. Not this angel. Not this angel. This angel makes a vow to God, and it is a vow of following God's direction, because it is also a testimony of God's sovereignty in eternity and in creation. Notice that it is He who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be no delay any longer. God, he says, this angel says, God, I promise I'm going to follow your directions, because you are the creator of eternity and creation. You are the God, the only God, the that there is in existence. What a testimony we have as a church tonight. To be saved by the Son of God. The same God that this angel makes a vow to here in Revelation is the same God that sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross. What a testimony that gives us tonight. But this angel's testimony isn't finished yet. It is a testimony that God's will be fulfilled through judgment, through renovation, through destruction, and through recreation. In other words, this angel bears testimony of everything that's going to happen in Revelation from this point, from the seventh trumpet to the end of the book. This angel stands in testimony that God, just, I know you've called it, and God, you've got my obedience and my support and my service in making seen that it all happens. I'm here to be your manager, if you will, during this time. And it is a testimony that the seventh trumpet will sound. You see, in verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. You see, the testimony of this seventh trumpet has to happen. If the seventh trumpet doesn't sound, then the mystery of God's work, the mystery of God's creation, the mystery of God's plan and God's sovereignty, the mystery of all of that will not be fulfilled. But that has to happen. And as such, this angel and this angel's testimony is there to make sure that God's will is carried out. That the seven bowl judgments will pour and that they will commence with an unbroken chain of events according to God's will. God's patience has ended. God's opportunity is coming to a close. Judgment is in sight. This vile and vulgar and vicious and sin-hardened world is counting down to its last moment. The testimony of this angel is a frightening testimony in itself. Without seeing the judgment that God is going to bring, we don't need to see it. We have the testimony of this angel. We have the written words of John the Apostle. My goodness, how it ought to stir our hearts tonight to be concerned about those that need us in this community. Those that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Those that walk away with a lip service of Christianity. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. But never have a conviction to darken a church door. Yes, I'm saved. But they never have a conviction to come worship. They never have a conviction to come sit under preaching, under teaching, under singing of the Holy Spirit. They never have a conviction to come serve God. They never have a conviction of Christianity. We need to be concerned about that tonight. We need to be concerned because the time is ticking away when the testimony of this angel will be the testimony that will stand from that point forward in time. Folks, that's all I have for tonight. I trust that it's been a blessing to you. Ronnie, sir, would you dismiss us?